Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Bit of a musical delay there, and hopefully that's not the precursor to how the rest of the podcast is going to go, but welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, it is Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, and that means Schomburg Stu has joined me.
Always good to hear the man singing.
So, all right, you want to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You might as well like it. You went all the way over there. What the heck? Of course, don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Again, sadly, still no Stu on Twitter yet, but I am out there at Burke Time, and as always, just send me any questions for Stu, and I will forward them right along. So there you go. All right, you ready to listen to my wonderful story from, I guess technically it's earlier in the week or last week or whatever?
Go ahead.
All right. Well, you know, anybody who's listened to the podcast knows that Mr. Fantasy and I co-manage a money league fantasy baseball team. We do football as well, but obviously it's baseball season. He's been really busy this year, so I've been handling the majority of the moves and the lineups and stuff. Well, I knew we were in playoff contention heading into last week, which was the end of our regular season. So I was like, okay, we're finally going to make the playoffs. Hopefully we'll get hot. I knew we play three games a week. I knew we needed one win. I was hoping we were going to get two. We ended up only getting one win. We lost one of our other games by 1 point. But the team we tied with, I wasn't worried about because we had swept them during the year. So I knew we held all the tiebreakers on them. I go in on Monday morning to set up our lineup and see who we're playing in the first round of the playoffs. And we're not in the playoffs. And I'm kind of like, okay, eight teams make the playoffs. We have the sixth best record. Or no, actually, I think we had the eighth best record. We'd have been like the last team in. But either way, we should have been in, and we're not in. So I text Mr. Fantasy, what the hell is going on? We've got a playoff team, and we're not in the playoffs. He texted me back to tell me we didn't score enough points during the regular season to get into the playoffs. So the team that finished two spots behind us in the standings got our playoff spot. So, yeah.
That doesn't seem quite fair. That doesn't seem quite fair.
Didn't seem to make sense to me either. I thought, you know, as a different sport, but as Herm Edwards once said, you play to win the games, and you know, we scored enough to beat our opponents. You know, this guy, you know, while he did score more points during the season, obviously didn't. You know, we just scored at the right time and had the better matchups. But no, so now we're relegated to what they call the toilet bowl, where if we do score the most points in the remainder of the season, we'll win our entry fee back. But obviously, we're not a high-scoring team. We just do well with our matchups. So, you know, it looks like basically we're SOL. If we would have gotten into the playoffs like I thought we were, we would have at least gotten some money back. You know, now it looks like we're going to get the shaft because we got dumped into this, you know, this format that just doesn't suit what we do.
Why are they cutting off of the playoffs so soon, and with still over a month to go in the season?
You know, they do. It's really weird in this league with these guys. You know, it's a long playoff format. You know, they have eight teams qualify, so it literally takes a month to do the playoffs. So it's, you know, it's a little weird, but yeah, I don't know. I've always had kind of a difficult time understanding these guys, and you know, it almost seems like Mr. Fantasy and I play with a different set of rules than everybody else does, and it's just, you know, it's just so weird. I know, like, I'm trying to remember who they did it to this year, but they always tell us if you select a rookie, you know, who made the roster and you want to play him on day one, he qualifies at the position he's projected to play. Well, oddly, 2 years in a row, Mr. Fantasy and I have had rookies that for some reason we couldn't play at the position they were projected to play. And they gave him some kind of whole BS malarkey about why we couldn't do it and, you know, all this other crap. So, yeah, it literally at times feels like we're playing with different sets of rules. And, you know, I got them figured out now, and it's like, great, maybe next year we'll do better or something. But I was just quite frustrated when I signed on Monday, and it's bothered me all week. So,
aren't there any alternative leagues you can join that would have better rules than the ones they have here?
You know, like we do our leagues, which of course got screwed up for me thanks to my my U-verse internet, and I wasn't able to participate in our fantasy leagues this year because I couldn't draft my team. And in a 20-team league, when you can't draft your team, it's a nightmare. So I was unable to participate, and, you know, hopefully that will go better. But these are all of Mr. Fantasy's rich friends. So, you know, I'm just kind of the afterthought, you know, like even in our team name, for the longest time, it was just his name, you know, his full name. And then I think it was last year they finally added me, and I've been doing baseball and football with him now for like 5 years. And they just finally decided I was good enough to be, you know, be added into what they do. But, you know, these are the guys, I mean, either them or their wives make, you know, like six figures a year, and you know, they all live in frickin' mansions and, you know, drive hot cars. And here I am, you know, renting an apartment and driving a Chevy Trax. So you can kind of see where I rank in this league.
Yeah, I understand that. Is there a flat fee for or an amount for winning, coming in first place if you qualify?
Yeah,
the
they have all... They have it all set up, and I forgot what it is because, honestly, we've never been close to winning it. But, yeah, there is a, you know, whatever it is, it's kind of like there's so much for, you know, first, second, third. I think all the playoff teams get some kind of money. You know, I think it's a 15-team league. And then whoever wins the toilet bowl gets their entry fee back, which is $200. Which we have done before, so.
And that's all you can hope for this time.
Yeah, because we, like in my, you know, my opinion, we got the shaft, but you know, they'll have, you know, some excuse, and you know, like I get to see them all again here on September 1st. We have the football draft, so some of them will get together and. We'll knock out the fantasy football draft, but then again, they even for my size, I'm kind of invisible to these guys, so it's okay.
And that fantasy draft on September 1st, that Sunday, is that one of those things that's an all day affair?
It used to be. They've managed to streamline this a little. The first draft I went with these yahoos took 6 hours. And it was just legitimately a joke. Luckily, they've toned it down now. We're getting done in about, I think, four. Last year, we got it done in 4 hours, which isn't, you know, horrible. That's a pretty good average.
That's not too bad. What time does it start? In the afternoon? You have it set for the
8 a.m.
afternoon? Or? Oh, 8
yeah,
a.m.
It's, well, since
so you're done,
yeah, it has
you're done by
8 a.m.
You're
so you can get in
noon.
And get out and
yeah.
get everything
well,
done. So, because, yeah, that's always a, because obviously, as you know, being a married person, you know, missing time on the holidays can be an issue with your better half. So,
yes, that's right. The next day is Labor Day, so I'm sure the wives are complaining about that eating into their long weekend.
Yeah. You know, and some of these guys, you know, they won't even be allowed to come to the draft because it's a holiday weekend, so they'll have to do it online. So,
well, that probably extends the time a little bit if they have to do it online.
Yeah, well, you know what's weird is, like, if we're all online and we're doing it together, it moves at a better pace. But when it's somebody sitting at home with his family on the computer, you know, you get sidetracked. You got kids you're dealing with, you know, or the wife wants you to do something, you get sidetracked. And, you know, we'll sit around. I mean, there's times we'll wait 10 or 15 minutes for some Yahoo on the Internet to draft. The best thing, actually, is the two guys who share a team. Because as the draft goes farther and farther, they fight with each other. So it takes them a long time to pick because they'll be arguing over which player they want, and they assign numbers to players so we don't know which two players they're talking about. And it's quite humorous to listen to these two guys go back and forth with each other, just kind of working it out. So
how do those guys do when they make the selection? How have they been in the past with all their bickering? Do they still wind up with a respectable team?
And yeah, you know, they're hot and cold. You know, it's a lot like – they're a lot like Mr. Fantasy and I. Some year they end up with really good teams, and, you know, other years they don't. Like this year in baseball, I've got Mr. Fantasy because, you know, I convinced him to draft Fernando Tatis Jr., and then Nick Senzel, you know, a couple rookies, and both guys have produced really well for us, especially Tatis until he got hurt. So obviously that's another thing that cost us this point war is basically our second best player is done for the year. So
I'm assuming that the league that the football league that starts on September 1st is for the regular season only.
Yeah. Yeah, they it's set up very similar to the baseball league. I think you play, except I think instead of three games, I think it's two games a week you play in this. And then the playoffs and all the other stuff that goes kind of goes along with what you've got. So they do
something when the playoffs start. Is it? I mean, if your players are still involved in the playoffs, does that still hold through all the way through to the Super Bowl? I mean, if you're fortunate enough to have some players playing in the Super Bowl, would that give you added bonus points? Or
no, what they actually do is they have a playoff draft. You know, if you're interested, they just basically start a whole new league for the playoffs. And normally, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I participate, but last year I guess he didn't want me to help him. So I believe he ventured out on his own, and I don't know if I will be if I was not invited by myself. So I don't know if he will invite me or how that will work out for me. So.
Well, there's a separate league for the playoffs. I mean, the talent pool goes way down in terms of your selections.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's much harder, obviously, because, you know, if you take a guy and his team gets eliminated in the first round or the first game, well, then you're not scoring any more points. You know, you've got whatever he got that one game. So not only do you have to draft well, but you got to get guys from the teams that you think are going to advance. You know, and I know, I can't remember, it was a couple years ago, this one guy was convinced that the Steelers were going all the way. So he loaded up on Steelers, and I believe, well, technically they didn't get beat in the first round because they had a bye, but they got beat in the first game they played. So he obviously lost.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are guys that do that. They try to load up on the team they think is going to win. And, you know, if you're right, you know, you'll win this really easy.
Yeah, well, I'm sure most people will be trying to go through the favorites that are in the playoffs. So, but as we all know, anything can happen. So maybe you could make a wise choice and pick a team that no one thinks are going to advance. You could wind up making a lot of money in if you're successful in that choice.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of the way you got to do it, because obviously, I mean, everybody is going to think New England is going to go a very long way. No doubt. So everybody wants to try to get in on, you know, Tom Brady. But, you know, the tough part with New England is besides Brady, they don't have that one exclusive guy who scores a lot of fantasy points, because they use everybody, especially now with Gronkowski gone. It's basically Brady and Julian Edelman.
Yeah, that's it.
So,
well, I'm sure it makes for some interesting selections during the playoff time. I guess.
It's fun.
Yeah, it should be.
You know, like I said, I'm disappointed that I wasn't invited last year. I mean, if they would have asked me, maybe I would have just taken my own team. But you know, apparently, maybe they thought I couldn't afford it, since, you know, by their standards, I'm poor.
Well, maybe you'll be invited to participate this year and make a few bucks at least.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. Who knows what's gonna go on? But I actually do have my first Yahoo Fantasy draft tonight. It was supposed to be right after you and I concluded. They wanted to start at 6:00. Well, now I just got an email that they pushed it back 2 hours, and we're not going to start till 8:00. So, you know, I'm hoping this doesn't take too long. You know, especially with you know, obviously people don't know I haven't been sleeping. I'm having a bit of an insomnia battle here. You know this because I email you all the time about it.
Right.
So. You know, if it gets too late, I'll be drafting guys that might not even be in the league anymore. So,
how long does the Yahoo draft take normally?
You know, if you can get everybody on and it's rolling, you can get, you know, especially a smaller league like this, you can get done in a couple hours. You know, like our leagues with the 20-team leagues that we have, it's going to take a minimum of 4 hours. So,
well, this time, I think with a two-hour time, you'll probably be able to handle that without too many problems.
Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, it shouldn't be too bad of a situation for me. You know, maybe my, you know, last pick is a little off the wall, and I end up picking, like, you know, the Bears' sixth receiver or something, who I just have to go in and cut later. But, you know, that would be okay.
Yeah, what does happen, by the way, when if you make and those last selections that you make, and if the player doesn't make the roster, do you get any choice of anybody else, or if that happens, or
yeah,
are you stuck?
You have to go in and cut that guy, and then you cut that guy, and then he goes you go and hunt somebody else down. So you go on the waiver wire, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And we know there will be some cuts, of course. And when is a dreaded cut taken when someone has to bring their playbook into the coach? When is the first major round of cuts take place?
You know, I'm not quite sure when it's going to – when they finally decide to do this. Obviously, it's got to be coming up because the season starts in you know what, September 4th, what, like 9 days away or something?
Yeah. Perhaps it's done after the third exhibition game, or did they actually wait until the fourth game before they make the cut?
I believe it's after the fourth, because remember, the starters don't really play in the fourth exhibition game.
Right.
So yeah, it must be it must be there at least.
Yeah, you want it's desperation time for a lot of the fringe players in that fourth game. That's got to be quite intense because you know that quite a few of them aren't going to make it. If lucky though, then maybe they'll make a practice squad. In the best case scenario.
You know, and obviously that's what, you know, a lot of them are trying to prove, you know, is the fact that they can, you know, get out there and get on a practice squad and, you know, things like that. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the game tomorrow night, the Bears play Indianapolis, and that's going to be a complete joke because I think Indianapolis, along with the Bears, aren't going to play any regulars at all.
Yeah. So. You know, there's no reason to, you know, why bother to run those guys out there. So.
Yeah, they really stick it to the season ticket holders, I think, because they force them to purchase these. They have to purchase these two games, these two home games, as part of their season package.
Yeah. You know, there's, you know, sadly, you know, nothing you can do about it. You know, it's just part of your deal to get, get the six, the eight home games.
Yeah, exactly right.
So, that's why I kind of wish they would just go to the 18 game schedule. This way you'd only have one preseason game at home. You'd have two preseason games, one at home, one on the road. You know,
right.
just get it over, you know.
They've been talking about that for years, that switching to an 18-game season. And so far, nothing, but I'm wondering if eventually they're going to have to do it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm really surprised that the players are so against it. You know, I of course, then again, I guess maybe they like getting these 3 or 4 weeks off with, the preseason.
Right. And I'm wondering if they ever did go to the 18-game format, would that mean there wouldn't be any more bye games?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard that. I don't know how the schedule would work out. You know, that would be something that would have to be shown, or however they would want to do those kind of things. So,
well, we know it's not going to happen this season. It's still a traditional 16-week season. A week or so, a week and a half.
But they have to wait for the CBA to expire, which is coming up. And then they can really kind of start talking about it and, you know, see what they can trade or however they can work out for, you know, to get them to take the deal.
Yeah, I don't anticipate any strikes anymore. I mean, there was one in the NFL. How many years ago? I've forgotten how many years ago. And there was one in baseball that ruined the season. So we're hoping that with all the money involved and all the huge economic obscene amount of money with the commercials and the network, that they would do something so there wouldn't be any more strikes in the NFL or in baseball.
Yeah, well, oddly, you know, the NFL Players Association is telling their players to save their money because they're talking about going on strike. So.
Yeah, they always threaten, but I don't think it's going to happen. And what is the collective agreement expiring? Is it at the end of this season?
I don't know if it's this season or if it's next season or when it is, but it's coming up very soon. So, it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out, and if they can work out some kind of deal. But
the fans weren't happy when it happened last time, and you can't blame them. And you want to avoid those things if at all possible.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I mean, I understand, the union represents the players and they want the best deal for the players. But, yeah, you got to understand, if you walk out, there's a really good chance that you're not going to get the fans back this time.
That's
so,
right.
You've got to be careful with this. Remember how long it took, baseball had to get the home run thing going, either by letting players take steroids or juicing up the baseball to get their fans back. Football seems to be okay.
But I think you're right about baseball, by the way, because, I was thinking of the Sosa-McGuire race and all the home runs, and the fans started to come back. The fans came back because of that. And that's not going to happen anymore.
No, you wonder, football is still king when it comes to television viewing of the sports. I know everybody jumped all over them the year the ratings were down with the presidential election, and then everybody forgot to mention that the ratings came back last year, and they were up from the year before. But, again, you got to leave out the pieces that ruin your story. So, they forget these things, but yeah, you gotta be careful. I mean, I don't know if the NHL has ever really recovered from their strike, and that was 10 years ago, maybe more.
Probably more than 10 years ago, but I think most teams are close to capacity at the NHL. There's maybe one or two that aren't, but they seem to do pretty well in attendance.
I don't know. I think there's probably a lot more that don't than do. So,
yeah, it's surprising that in the NBA, for example, I know the attendance can't be 100%, what the max is, and for some of the down teams like the Knicks. The Knicks don't sell out anymore, correct? The Bulls don't sell out anymore. And
I believe the Grizzlies are the worst team in Memphis there, but hockey's got some horrible ones. Arizona is a terrible drawing team. Even if the team was to win, I don't think they could get people in there. The Atlanta team drew so badly they moved it to Winnipeg.
Right. Atlanta has never been a great sports town, no matter what sport it is, if it's baseball or football, basketball, you name it, and it's not a great sports town.
No, even when you get a winner, you for whatever reason, they just don't come out to games. I don't know what the issue is or how it works out. But
you remember how many years in a row the Braves won their division, and they still didn't draw very well.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and no surprise, according to stats from last year, the Blackhawks were the highest drawing home team on average. So.
And you got to say a lot for the Chicago fans for that, because they didn't make the playoffs again, and every game is televised, unlike years past, and they still had a terrific attendance.
Well, when you look at it, you can tell. I mean, the five leaders, the Blackhawks are one, the Canadiens are two, the Flyers are three, the Maple Leafs are four, and the Red Wings are five. That's five of the original six.
Yeah, that's right.
So, who was the other six team? Was it Minnesota?
The original six?
Or what?
No.
Yeah, or what,
New York,
New York team? Was
New
it
York
the Red
and Boston. New York, Boston, Detroit, Chicago, Toronto, and Montreal were the original six.
Yeah. And, let's see, where are they at? The Boston finished at 17th out of 31 teams, and then the Rangers finished way down at 20.
That surprises me about Boston, because Boston has always been a good sports town. Always supporting
yes,
their teams.
They went to the Cup Finals. I know they lost to St. Louis, but they just went to the Cup Finals.
Yeah. And it's surprising that their attendance is down like that. Very surprising.
Well, you know, I'm wondering if maybe it's their arena, because looking at the percentage, they have them selling out all the time, but they only average 17,565 a game. So maybe it's the arena, and they just can't get any more people in there.
It could very well be, yeah. Yeah. That's a fairly old arena, I think, in where they play, is it?
So, yeah, because you look at it, and there are a lot of teams that sell out at 100% capacity. There's 10 of them, but, some of them are down here, like Winnipeg's one of them, but they're 25th overall in attendance because their building only holds a little over 15,000. But then got to ask the question, if they had a bigger building, would they sell that out?
That's a good question also. And of course, hockey is very popular in Canada, obviously, and I'm sure Toronto and Montreal sell out their games despite the fact that their capacity is not as much as they'd like it to be.
Yeah, but remember, they had a team in Winnipeg before, and they had to move it because it couldn't draw.
Yeah, but this time they seem to be doing very well with the attendance.
Well, they better, because Dan's daughter is a fan. Every birthday and Christmas, she gets a Winnipeg's Jet shirt. So.
Oh, that's nice. Nice present they have.
That's because I buy it for her, but, I just decided she was a fan, and that's what she got. So.
I'm sure she appreciates it also.
I don't know. She's three. She probably doesn't even know who the hell I am. But, that's okay. So she did like the hoodie. She got a hoodie for her birthday, which was a couple days ago. So happy third birthday to Dan's daughter, Ainsley, a couple days late here. So.
Well, that's a nice gift. I'm sure, as you said, she enjoyed it. It's all it counts.
Yeah. It's humorous when you look at, some of the attendance percentages and stuff. The Blackhawks actually sell out at 107.2%.
Yeah, don't know if the old Chicago Stadium used to have standing room only. I assume that the UC has standing room tickets available too. I'm not sure now.
Yeah, they
don't. They must.
And I think the more impressive team is the Blackhawks are only one of three teams that sell out on the road. It's the Blackhawks, the Minnesota Wild, and the Vegas Golden Knights.
Well, Chicago fans have always supported their teams on the road.
That's the one thing, hopefully they'll give them a little better team to support, this coming year. I still can't figure out how a team with Jonathan Patrick could be so bad.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be better this season. I think they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, I hope.
But I can't say the same thing about the Bulls.
No, I still don't think the Bulls are anywhere close. And, obviously, we've been over it before. They were not helped by the draft. They got the shaft, so tanking didn't work.
And the unfortunate thing about basketball is that it can be a very boring sport during the regular season.
Well, especially nowadays, all guys do is dunk and shoot threes.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot more excitement in a hockey game than you'll see at the NBA game. As you pointed out, it's all 3 points and how many?
Yeah.
I used to count how many traveling calls weren't called, but I've given up doing that.
Yeah, there's no way now. There's so many that they just, overlook or, whatever you want to do with it. It's like, really? You know, we can't even enforce the rules properly anymore.
No. And some can be iffy. They're so quick to players, but some are so blatantly obvious that it's a wonder why they don't call them.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of those things, you know, you just got to, you know, you've got to assume the refs are almost instructed not to call it to keep the game exciting. So.
And what can be duller at the NBA game in the last 2 minutes when it's a trip to the foul line every 5 seconds?
Yeah, that's just ridiculous when you're trying to watch the end of the game and it's whistle after whistle. You know, and I keep hearing people tell me what a great game it is, and I'm like, what are you watching that I'm not? Because this isn't great in any sense of the word.
No, I think it's gone down a little bit in terms of the ability of the players, it seems like. As you pointed out, there's just so many things wrong now with the traveling not being called and the inundation. The three-point rule is a good one, but it seems like they're all they do now is shoot three-point shots, and the excitement
is
lacking.
Well, you know, the next time you see somebody play defense is going to be the first time you see them play in a long time.
Yeah, and when some players blatantly admit that they don't play defense, that's what turns me off in the game. Who was the players the Bull has last year briefly, Parker? He said he doesn't play defense. He just
right.
came out and said it, which is pretty stupid when you think about it. I mean, all right, don't play defense, but don't say it, but don't admit it.
Well, you know, obviously he wasn't the sharpest guy, and you know, you look at him. I mean, he's definitely a draft bust. I mean, he's the number two pick, and basically he's a journeyman NBA player. So,
yeah, that's all it is. But you know, he's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Even the guy, you know, even journeyman guys now in the NBA make more money than, you know, they know what to do with. TV deal they got, and you know, I mean, they, you know, you got to give those guys credit. Whoever negotiated that did a fantastic job, and you know, they got the Mickey Mouse Network to hugely overpay to cover their games. So,
yeah, would the league even exist if it wasn't for ESPN?
Yeah, well, you know, somebody else would have stepped up and paid them. You know, there would have been a, you know, I mean, I'm sure like a, you know, a Fox Sports would have loved to have been able to jump in and all of a sudden be the home of the NBA. You know, that would be a huge get for them. You know, instead they had to settle to be the home for SmackDown.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. And how many NBA teams actually turn a profit?
Well, you know, I'm sure if you were to actually ask them, they would say none of them because they have to file taxes. I mean, you used to be an accountant,
that's
right?
That's true. That is true.
But, yeah, I guess, you know, they must be doing okay. You know, I mean, nobody's went out of business and everybody's getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, not like the old
April,
you know, check.
Yeah, with the lack of sell-offs and, you know, a lot of arenas, it's hard to believe that they're turning a profit and they're surviving. But I guess they are.
Well, you know, they like I said, they got a lot of TV money, you know, injected into them from, you know, not only the Mickey Mouse Network, but then, you know, TNT kicked in some as well. You know, I mean, that TV deal was just gigantic. So...
somehow I don't see them garnishing great ratings, though, either ESPN or TNT during the regular season.
No, ratings were down. So, you know, that was one of the things they talked about last year. And, you know, that's one of the reasons we're going to see the Lakers in the playoffs this year one way or the other. I guarantee you, whether they earn it or not, they will be in the playoffs because they're a marquee team and they need LeBron James to get ratings.
Right, and they're going to get in. they're going to get in, and I'm just wondering if they'll be
one or the other. They're
five seed, but yeah, there's no question they're going to be in. Whether they deserve it or not, they'll be in the playoffs this year.
You know, that's just kind of how it works out. Just like they moved up in the draft magically. So, you know, hey, look at that. Here go. Look at the Lakers moving up. All right, how did that happen? Oh boy, what a shocking surprise that was. Yeah,
I'm still shocked that the New York didn't move up, didn't do well in the
New York. Yeah, New York
in the lottery.
Well, at least they could stay where they could get an impact player at three. You know, I mean, it was the Bulls and the Suns were the two teams that got the shaft. So
yeah, I'm afraid those teams are in for a long rebuild. It's been long enough.
Oh yeah.
Now.
You know, especially if you can't get the draft pick. You know, I mean, you need that. You know, you need that guy to, you know, build your team around. And you know, the Suns may have it. You know, 2 years ago they had the number one pick and they took that Amari Ayton, something close to that. But the Bulls don't. The Bulls have absolutely nobody they can build a team around.
Years ago, there was always two or three surprise teams in the NBA when the season started. Teams that you didn't expect to do well did very well. Does that happen anymore?
You know, I think towards the bottom of the playoffs there is, but there, you know, like you're never going to see a surprise team win the NBA title. You know, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I suppose you really can't consider Toronto being a surprise team, right? They were always ranked. They were always ranked in the top two or three in their league, and I suppose it was a surprise. It was a surprise that they went all the way finally.
So, you know, just it's tough when you know, because I think they had the second best record in the East, so you can't really say it was a shock that they. You know, they ended up going through and winning everything. So,
yeah, when was the last time another 7 or 8 seed surprised and advanced further into the playoffs? Does it ever happen anymore?
Yeah, we'll never see a 7 or 8 win the championship. That's just never. Going to happen. So, no matter how it works out, because, you know, generally, you know, you're going to get these 7 or 8 seeds and they're not going to have the marquee players on them that the NBA is looking for. You know, like they may have one superstar, but, you know, they're not going to be carrying a LeBron James or a Steph Curry or, you know, that guy in market. So they'll take care of that team. You know, it'll be a fun story for a while, and then they'll get swept out of the playoffs by whoever.
Yeah, and boy, it'll be nice to see one time in the NBA a lower-ranked seed actually compete in the finals. We know it happens in hockey all the time. You know, hockey is one that you can't really predict.
Yeah, the Blues just won the Stanley Cup, and they were the last team to get in the playoffs.
That's what I like to see. I mean, that's exciting. I give the Blues a lot of credit when they made that managerial change, the coaching change. It turned the whole season around for them. But you never, ever see that happen in the NBA, and that's why you get turned off after a while after. Hoping that one time, one team can actually advance that no one expected to see happen, but it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, about the one thing you can actually say about this upcoming NBA season is for the first time in I don't know how many years, Golden State isn't the clear-cut favorite in the Western Conference.
No, that's true. You think they can go down actually to a 4 this year? I don't know about that. Maybe. Possible.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, a lot is going to depend on how well Klay Thompson plays when he comes back from his injury.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but I don't see them any lower than a four.
No.
Even
so. You know, that would be a big shock if they ended up down there for some reason. So.
And would you be surprised if they actually wound up a number one seed again?
You know, I probably would be because, you know, Houston is going to be really good. So I would kind of think, you know, they're going to end up for the regular season being the best team. You know, Denver, you know, if Denver can, you know, play anywhere close to how they did last year, you know, they're going to be right there. The Clippers obviously look better. You know, they added not only Kawhi Leonard, but they also added Paul George.
Yeah,
so,
they'll be good.
There are some, you know, obviously the Lakers are going to be improved, you know, just by the addition of Anthony Davis, you know, and all their shady moves to get that done. So.
Yeah, that one bothered me. That just didn't seem like a fair thing, but that's what happened.
Wasn't, but, you know, that's what the league wanted. They wanted him on the Lakers. So they were going to do whatever it took to get him on the Lakers. And, you know, once his agent came out and said, well, you know, you can trade him anywhere you want, but next year he's going to take going to free agency and sign with the Lakers. You know, that killed any deal of him going anywhere else but the Lakers.
Yeah, it did. It really did.
You know, and I mean, he should have been immediately fined for that statement or, you know, even had his license suspended, you know, because you can't do that. It ruins the integrity of the game.
It does. And is there any sport besides that relies or has the players being dominant in terms of where they want to be traded to and what say they have with the selection of players? Any other sport besides basketball? I can't think of any.
Well, remember, you know, the NBA is a players' league, so this is what we get.
Yeah, and that certainly has proven to be true.
So, yeah, you know how these things work out. You know, it's a players' league, and if you're going to be a players' league, the players are going to dictate this kind of stuff, and, you know, you're going to get these teams where – you know, everybody is going to want to go there, and the team is going to be good, and then you're going to get the situations like we have here where nobody wants to play for the Bulls, and they're going to be a lottery team for the foreseeable future.
And there's so many teams that are mediocre in the NBA that are on the bubble every year, and, you know, they're never going to rise above two games below, 3 games below 500, 2 games above 500, and maybe they'll make the playoffs once in a while and be eliminated in the first round, and every year, year after year after year, without any change in their fortunes.
Because even now when you look at the Eastern Conference, if it's not Boston, Philadelphia, or Milwaukee who come out of there, I'll be just totally shocked. You know, I mean, because for me, I mean, basically that season's already over. Who's going to compete with them?
Well, certainly Toronto's not going to repeat, obviously.
Right. You know.
I know
that signed, you know, Kevin Durant, but he's not going to play this year. They do have Kyrie Irving, but Irving showed he can't lead a team to a title. So, they're not going anywhere. I mean, I'm sure the Pacers will be a nice surprise again, and, you know, maybe they'll even surprise and be a second or a third seed, but when it comes to playoff time, they're not winning the East.
No. Maybe they'll win the first round in the playoffs, but that's it.
You know, because, yeah, I mean, you know, you can go down, I mean, the list. We talked about how bad the Knicks are, the Bulls, you know, the Cavaliers, the Pistons, they're not winning anything. You know, the Hawks, the Hornets, the Heat, the Magic, the Wizards. Yeah, right. You know, none of these teams are competitive. They're not doing anything.
No, no. As you pointed,
you know, even
Boston, Philadelphia,
you know, the
Milwaukee,
adding Butler, yeah, you know, the Heat adding Jimmy Butler maybe makes them a seventh or an eighth seed, maybe even a sixth, being that it's the Eastern Conference. But you know, they're not winning. He's not leading them to the Eastern Conference title.
He's good, but not that good. They
yeah.
don't have the overall team behind them to do that.
So yeah, you know,
yeah,
it kind of, you know, and that's all my problem with it is, why give me a reason to watch?
Yeah, there really is no reason to watch, and there'll be a few teams that we know already going to be in the playoffs, and I'm not really looking forward to the basketball season at all. Although
no.
I am interested in hockey a little bit more. Yeah, I think that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, hockey's always fun because, you know, I mean. You know, just again, we can just kind of take St. Louis. You look where they were, and I mean, I had written them off. I didn't think they were going to be a playoff team. And, you know, even when they got in, so what? They got in. They're not going to do anything. And the next thing I know, they're winning it all.
Yeah, and that is a major, major surprise.
You know, and rarely in hockey does the team that wins, you know, has the best regular season win the Stanley Cup.
No, that doesn't happen very often. It does happen on occasion, but the last few years, they've been a lot of the teams with the best record have been eliminated in the first round.
Yeah, it's almost bad luck to win the President's Trophy.
Yeah, that means you'd be eliminated quickly.
Yeah, so. You know, it's just kind of like, great, we're the best team in the regular season. Because, well, Tampa Bay, look at them last year. They were far and away. I mean, people were talking, oh, they're going to win the cup. You know, they've got it this year. They're all set. They got swept out in the first round.
Yeah. that was a major shocker, of course. They had a terrific team. And not that they lost in the first round, but being swept was almost inconceivable.
Yeah, so, you know, just ridiculous, but, you know, that's, you know, those kind of things happen, so, but, all right, well, I want to get to this before I forget here, so we'll get into this, even though we haven't talked much baseball today. You actually ended up going 2-3 last week. Your disbelief in the Cubs kind of cost you. And you're still 43-21, so you're way over 500. Obviously, with the beatdown they received today, they can't sweep the series, so we won't ask you that question today. So basically the question is, do you have them winning the series with Washington?
Well, I'll give you a very quick answer, no.
So, and then they move on. They're a tough part of the schedule here. They go from facing the Nationals to facing the New York Mets. Of course, this time I can ask you, do you have them sweeping the Mets?
No.
And then do you have them winning the series with the Mets?
And I will give you another no.
Oh. All right. And then our bonus question, we're going to go back to the team with the longest current losing streak right now is the Toronto Blue Jays. I almost said Raptors because we were talking basketball.
Right.
They've lost their last five. They are on the road in Seattle tonight. Trent Thornton starts for the Blue Jays, and the Mariners are going with their top prospect that they got from the Yankees, Justice Sheffield, making his major league debut. You got Toronto ending their losing streak, or does it go to six tonight?
Well, it's a tough one. I will say it's going to go to six tonight.
All right. You got Toronto taking the big L there. So we are all locked in for your picks until next week. So look at that. So, Yeah, and I, you know, and as I mentioned to you on email, you know, I'm still not watching Cub games, but I did flip by it, and they were getting their brains beat in. I think it was 7 or 8-0 at the time. And the only thing that stuck into my mind besides the score was the fact that the Cubs were wearing the most hideous uniforms I have ever seen. You know, and I know it's Players Weekend, but those white uniforms are ridiculous.
I wasn't that enchanted with the Washington uniforms either.
Yeah, you know, I was so distracted by the Cubs uniforms that I don't think I could tell you what Washington was wearing.
Yeah, this annual thing they do when they have their nicknames in the back, and I don't know what the point is, but they do it, and that's it.
You know what? You know what it's for. It's another jersey for fans to buy.
Well, that could be, yeah. That might be. That's probably the only reason they do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm sure it's fun for the players for them to get the, you know, put their nickname on the back or, you know, whatever they've got going on. But, yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal to me. But you damn well know there's people running out to get that white jersey right now. You know, online,
yeah.
Wherever you got to go to get it, Fanatics or whatever other website is carrying it, you know they're out there buying it because they don't have that one.
Yeah, I very seldom buy anything baseball related, although, of course, as I told you, I did buy the 7-disc 2016 World Series plus the documentary. I can always play that and pretend that it's 2016 again if I get discouraged with the rest of the season.
I wore the, as a matter of fact, I wore the World Series shirt that Dan bought me with the players' names on the back of it.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. Linda and I both have World Series shirts, too.
Yeah, so, you know, even with the loss, the Cubs are still right there tied for the division, depending on how St. Louis goes tonight. Luckily for St. Louis, they have a little better matchup as they get Colorado, who is, I don't know what happened to them. They're just in the tank. I mean, they're 22 games under, and the wheels just came off there. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe they can pull the upset, but I highly doubt it. So it looks like St.
Louis, of course. Yeah, St. Louis is at home, of course. So Colorado will have a shot if they're playing at their own home field. Anything can happen there. But in St. Louis,
they can't beat anybody.
I don't see that happening in St. Louis. Although they gave them a good battle last night, they had a 5-2 lead at one time and wound up losing 6-5.
Yeah, you know, I mean, even at home, Colorado is only 4 games over .500. You'd like to think they'd have a bigger home field advantage than that, you know, especially in that place. But they just don't because, you know, everybody hits home runs now, so it's no longer a benefit to anybody.
Well, they may be only 4 games over at home, but it's a lot better than their road record.
Yeah, but even so, you know, you need to win at home in a big way to be a contender. And they can't do it. And I know they've, you know, just the last 2 days, I know they went on the IL for them. And earlier in the week, Kyle Freeland went on the IL. So they're basically running out of pitchers.
Yeah, don't look for them to do it too much better for the rest of the season, I'm afraid.
Yeah, they're not gonna do the Cubs any favors. So the Cubs are going to have to figure out how to beat Washington if they want to stay in the race. And, you know, sadly, John Lester's starting to show his age, so that could be a problem.
Yeah, you think that's what's causing the problems with him the last few starts?
You know, you got to wonder, but we'll have to talk about it next week. So,
right. You can say that, by the way, everything about Hamilton also.
Well, now, Dan, we got that Monday 5:30, but you know while we're gone. I got to bring somebody to the box.